You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. We'll be reading into chapter 11 as well. This is God's Word. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirus. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Ripeth, and Togarma. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, and Kittim, and the Rodanim. From these, the maritime peoples spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. The sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabteca. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. Mizraim was the father of the Luddites, Anamites, Lahabites, Nephthuhites, Pathrusites, Kaslahites, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clan scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, as far as Lesha. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah was the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Ibamael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan. The region where they lived was stretched from Mesha towards Sephar in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I actually love the story of the Tower of Babel because it is a reminder of the folly of man trying to glorify himself. But before that story is told, an outline is given of the sons of Noah having sons of their own. Did they have daughters? Of course they did. But the daughters are not listed because the families are traced through their fathers at this point. And as a result, the women don't even get mentioned. Okay? Don't feel slighted, ladies. This is a long, long time ago, and God in his word gives a beautiful place to women, not only in history, but within the body of Christ. But as this lineage is being given, it is simply the sons and their sons who are listed. And many of the names of the sons that are given in their plural form. In the Hebrew language, the I am on the end often is basically a plural. And so these are the families and the nations that came out from the family of Noah. And everybody on earth, as we've said before, is related. We're all kin, not just through Adam and Eve, but through Noah and his family. Yes, I believe in a universal flood because the Bible says so. And it, you know, some people say, well, no, I don't think it had to be that way. Well, if it's not that way, then a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible doesn't line up. If it is exactly as God said, which is no stretch for God to accomplish. I mean, it's not like, you know, God has a lot of power, but I don't know if he could pull off a universal flood. Of course he can. It's ridiculous to posit an infinite God with all power, except he can't do certain things. God can do anything except violate his own nature. He will never violate his own nature. God is always true to himself, and that includes the fact that his word is truth. So, these are our ancestors. Now, I don't know if you recognized any of those names, but everybody in this room came through these folks. Okay? Those are your ancestors and mine. Now, my wife has been subscribing to something. I'm not promoting it here. I'm just describing the reality in my home. My wife has been subscribing to something called Ancestry.com for a number of years that has enabled her to do all kinds of research about our relatives. One of the most amazing things that we learned was that after living here for 18 years, we discovered that my wife is a direct descendant of the Wares for whom Wares Valley is named. What are the chances of that? Now that we've shared that story a few times, we were entertaining some people recently, and they were telling us that, yes, they had heard about how we inherited this land from her ancestors. No! Au contraire, mon frère. That is not what happened. God gave us this property because God owns everything. And when we got this land, neither we nor the people who entrusted it to us had any clue that my wife was related to the Wares of Wares Valley. We had to live here 18 years before we found that out. Guess who knew the whole time? God. God who brought us back to her ancestral land. I think that's really cool. You and I, as we study these stories, need to understand these are our stories. This is about our family. These are not strange people with whom we have no connection, who lived long ago and, you know, they had strange names. I have trouble still, after all the times that I've read this, both silently and aloud, I still have trouble pronouncing some of these names. If you give me a few minutes, I can get it. But if I'm having to just read it aloud, some of these trip me up. But I've got 7 children and 8 grandchildren, and sometimes I get the names wrong when I'm trying to call them too. So these people that we've just read about, these are our ancestors, okay? And you need to know that, because what happened with them explains a lot about world history. And the first thing that is stated is these are the descendants. These are the sons of Noah's sons. And it explains more about some than it does about others. But there is one line that will be traced over and over and over. It will get narrower and narrower and narrower. These folks went out this way, these folks went out this way, these were the ones that were continuing to follow. Of them, these went this way, these went this way, these are the ones we're continuing to follow. Out of that group, some went this way, some went that way, these are the ones we're continuing to follow. And that line that gets narrower and narrower and more specific doesn't just bring us to Abraham, but through Abraham to Isaac. Abraham had more than one child. Now, he waited a long time to have one with Sarah. And the one that he had with Sarah was a miracle. His name was Isaac, which means laughter, and we'll learn more about him as we go forward. But Abraham had Ishmael also. And after Sarah's death, Abraham had other children. But it is the line of Isaac that is critical. And from Isaac, Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And it is the line of Jacob that is critical. And Jacob had 12 sons, but it is through the line of Judah that God will bring salvation for the whole world, for all people everywhere. There is only one Savior. God has provided through one person salvation for all who believe. And so this story, this genealogy, is part of a drama that God is writing that leads generation after generation after generation to our salvation. And we need to understand that as we're studying this. The people who were writing this down didn't understand that. The people who were keeping all these records, Moses, when he put together the book of Genesis, did not understand how God would bring salvation through Jesus Christ. But he was moved by the Holy Spirit to record what we needed to know so that one day when we looked back, we would see amazing. Amazing. God wove all the pieces together in order to bring us eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, if you look at these descendants of Noah, the Japhethites, the Hamites, and the Semites, we said last time that those who stupidly have tried to suggest that the curse that Noah pronounced on his grandson Canaan somehow provides justification for the enslavement of African people by Westerners. That is about as ignorant and stupid an argument as anybody anywhere has ever advanced about anything. Because if you read the very place where it's recorded, what becomes clear is the descendants of Canaan are the Canaanites. Look at verse 15 of chapter 10. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clans scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, as far as Laisha. Those are not Africans. The people who were the descendants of Canaan were the ones who lived in a place called Canaan. Got it? So anybody who suggests that that has something to do with a basis for the enslavement of African people are just ignorant, not to mention evil. Got it? And the reason I tell you that is because as stupid as that idea is, it's still out there. There are still people out there who think that's right. Now, I must also say this. When the West said, we're not going to have slaves anymore, it didn't stop the enslavement of people in Africa or people in Asia or people in any number of places around the world. And there is more slavery in the world today than there was in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. Got it? Slavery is still a problem. But it isn't because God said that he would honor Noah's curse on Canaan. That is not at all what's going on. And if you want to know which religion is still endorsing slavery, it's not Christianity, it's Islam. And that's why it is still a huge problem in the Middle East and a huge problem in much of Africa. And then I'll restrain myself from saying things about certain political views that end up enslaving people in our country. But just understand, God is not blessing treating people like animals. Not okay. Look in chapter 11, because having laid out the family line, having told us about our relatives, then we get a wonderful story, a true story, about how all these language groups developed. As you're reading chapter 10, it says, verse 5, for instance, from these, the maritime people spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. Well, now chapter 11 is going to go back and explain how that happened. Chapter 10 says, these are the folks, this is where they went. Chapter 11 says, this is how that change came about. This is how they all ended up with their own language. Chapter 11. The whole world had one language and a common speech. And as men moved eastward, this is after the flood, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there. This is when our ancestors were still few in number. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Because we want to be close to God. No, because we want to put ourselves up on the level with God. We want to make a name for ourselves. That's what it says. They wanted to exalt themselves. They knew that God reigned over all. They didn't have an understanding of how the planet was shaped. They just knew that God reigned and was above them and that they were small. So it's let's band together and let's build something that's going to make us somebody. There are still lots of people trying to do that today, whether it's through architecture or whether it's through economics. People want desperately to make themselves somebody. And these folks thought that by working together, they could put themselves up on a level with God. We're going to build something that reaches to the heavens and make a name for ourselves. And what is God's response? God's response is not to be intimidated, though it sounds to some people as if he's saying, boy, I'm afraid of what they might do. Have you ever seen a dad down on the floor with his kids And the children are climbing on him and grabbing him and all that. And he's not fighting back. He's just sort of like, oh. That's what God's doing here, okay? God says, as they're saying, we're going to build this thing and it's going to reach all the way up to the heavens, all the way up to the place of God. God says, what is that? We better go down and see what that is. Do you get the picture there? This is humor. This is God making a joke. Man says, we're going to build something that reaches all the way to God. God says, that is so tiny, I can hardly even see it from here. Okay? Now, it's not that God can't see. It's not that God doesn't know. God is putting things in perspective. God is saying to these people, your biggest, best effort is minuscule. It is tiny. There's no way that man is going to put himself on God's level. But God says, oh, if they do this, there's no stopping them. That's not God saying, I'm intimidated. It's God saying, all right, let's break up the party. And so what does God do? God confuses their language. Picture this happening. God confuses their language. They're in the middle of a huge construction project, and all of a sudden, they can't talk to each other. One of the warning signs that you're having a stroke is when your speech gets confused. God didn't have to give them strokes in order for that to happen. One of my dear friends who's now in heaven, following her stroke, could not say what she wanted to say. She knew what she wanted to say, but she couldn't say it. She played a card game called Rook. I'll tell you who it was, Billy Graham's mother-in-law, Mrs. Bell. She used to play a card game. They called it Missionary Bridge because the missionaries didn't use secular playing cards. So instead of playing with secular playing cards and playing bridge, they would play Rook, which is a whole different game and totally innocent because missionaries do it. And Mrs. Bell, who'd been a missionary for years, she was a very good Rook player. She was a very intelligent woman, and she'd spent a lot of time playing Rook when the weather was bad. And so there she was, and she would want to choose a trump color. There are four colors to choose from. Let's see if I can remember this. It's red and green and yellow and maybe black, I'm not sure. But anyway, four colors. And she would say, they'd say, you know, what, Mrs. Bell, what color would you like? And she would say, yellow. And they'd say, okay, yellow is trump. And she'd shake her head. They'd say, not yellow? What color would you like? She would say, yellow. Now, she knew she wanted to say red, but what was coming out of her mouth was yellow. Why, brain damage? And God, you could say, gave us all a form of brain damage at the Tower of Babel because we couldn't say what we wanted to say and we couldn't understand each other. And after a while of people not being able to talk to each other, they went off in different directions, each with their own language. They found somebody, I can talk to you, you can understand me. And so we talked together, and these folks from Germany, I'm sorry, you know, you guys will just have to talk to each other, all right? But God caused them to start speaking differently to each other. How did he do that? Well, I don't know, but what happens with strokes is maybe kind of a clue to the sort of brain dysfunction that God implemented at this point in history. But God deliberately divided up the people so that they went in different directions and couldn't work and pool their energies anymore. Why? Because God was intimidated? No, because God had plans to fill the whole earth with His glory. God had plans that one day there would be people around the throne from every tribe and tongue and people and nation giving praise and worship to God. So God's plan was not because he was intimidated. It was not because he was frightened. It's not because he couldn't handle a construction project on the part of people. It was because God knew that if the people all stayed together, all they would be doing is trying to exalt themselves. And God wanted people everywhere to call upon him. That was the plan. And so God scattered the people, and they left from there, and the building project was abandoned. But please understand when it says, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. That is not about God being fearful. That is about God being amused. And God goes down and in his mercy does not allow them to continue in that way. If you want a parallel to this, go back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had disobeyed God and eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, we need to get them out of there so that they don't eat from the tree of life. That was not because God was intimidated. It was because man would have been stuck in that condition forever. So God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, made it so they couldn't get back in the garden, and they could not come to the tree of life on their own. He set angels as guards to keep them from being able to get back there, not to protect himself, but to protect them. And what God was doing here when he confused the language of our ancestors and scattered people across the face of the earth was not to protect himself, it was to protect us. Is that clear? I hope so. Please understand this. God is not intimidated. God has all power. And amazingly sent his son and allowed him to suffer and die in our place. Think about the fact that Jesus said to his followers, don't you understand, I could ask my Father right now and he would send a legion of angels to defend me. It wasn't about Jesus not being able. As the people mocked him and said, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross and we'll believe in you. He could have. But we would have been lost. We would have been damned. And so for our sake and for the glory of the Father, he stayed there on the cross until it was accomplished. I know that it is finished. His dying breath has brought me life. Thanks be to God. When you read this, understand it is not God defending himself. It is God working out his plan for our salvation. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have chosen to save. You could have destroyed us once and for all. But instead, again and again, you kept for yourself a remnant. And through that amazing process, you brought us salvation. And now, even now, around the world, you are calling out those who will trust in you and granting salvation to people like us who are completely undeserving. So we give you thanks and praise. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would cause us never to be concerned about making a name for ourselves or trying to reach you through our efforts. But rather, may we be those who recognize what you have done to reach us and give you the praise of a surrendered life. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.